Know what we're talking about?
No.
No.
Yay.
We're recording.
Are over?
And
we are going live.
Can't wait to watch this from the website.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Weigel.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Middleton.
Here.
Romano.
Here.
Crowder absent.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on March 8th, 2022. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Next up is ordinance number 2022-4. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2022-4 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-4, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, annexing certain territory to the City of Columbia City, Indiana, placing the same within the corporate boundaries thereof and making the same a part of the City of Columbia City.
Again, this is the annexation ordinance. This is the third read, no, second reading.
Third
reading, thank you, of this ordinance, sorry. And this will be the final step before, and then there's a, what, Marshall, there a waiting period, I think?
Yes.
And then,
yeah.
And then a month from now it becomes effective?
I can't remember.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. So again, this is for that sliver that we should have annexed when we bought it, but we didn't way back in the day. So by back in the day, I mean like a decade or so ago. So with that, any questions, comments, concerns about the annexation ordinance? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2022-4 on third and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is ordinance number 2022-7. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2022-7 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-7, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, to amend sections 50.06 of the Code of Ordinances regarding the rates and charges of the Columbia City Municipal Utilities.
As you will remember, this is taking out a section of the ordinance that hasn't been used for, John, what did you say, a decade or two?
I've been here 21 years, and it was out before I came in. So
yes.
It's been 25 years at least.
So this is, again, updating our code, taking out a section that is not been used for quite some time. Any questions about this? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2022-7 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is ordinance number 2022-8. Do I have a motion to, do I have a motion to read by title only?
Okay.
Motion by Jenny, by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2022-8 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-8, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
At the last meeting, we had some conversation about whether or not the directional piece was on those. Marcia has updated that ordinance to include those on there. I think that was the only thing that came up. Was there any other questions, comments, concerns about this ordinance? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2022-8 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is Ordinance 2022-9. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance 2022-9 by title only.
Ordinance 2022-9, establishing interconnection standards for the Columbus City electric utility.
And you'll remember that Sean spoke about this last time, and this really is setting up those standards for, really, is it just for solar?
No, it's for all renewables.
For all renewables. and this really is a way to protect our staff.
Basically, we've already been doing this, but we've been doing it on a case-by-case basis.
Yes.
With no punitive recourse or options. What this does is they no longer have to fill this out every time they want to apply, but it also puts fines in place for those that don't follow the correct processes to be hooked to our grid. So.
Yes.
Do they hook in themselves, or do you guys have to? I mean, I guess under this, you guys hook them in, but assume people try and do it without.
No, they have to have a qualified professional install all renewable energy. Mm-hmm. We've had them in the past put their own solar panels up and hook it straight to the grid. Everyone, last time I kind of explained that for our transformers, we feed 7,000 volts to a transformer. It goes down to 120 volts to the house. Well, transformers operate both ways. So if you're putting 120 back on our system during a power outage, it'll come through that transformer and go back to my lines to where my guys are working at 7,000 volts. This puts punitive damages in if someone hooks up without my permission or the utility's permission and without an inspection, without going through the proper processes.
Okay.
It's a safety. It's a safety issue.
Yep. I know there's been... there's been some companies that have been, we'll say, peddling their solar wares in this area that have overpromised and underdelivered to multiple customers, correct, Sean?
We've had four in our area, in our lines, that were sold solar from a particular company that I have actually, I am no longer allowing to hook to our system because of the... sales tactics that they're using aren't quite ethical, and I have a great news article I can send any of you. The Indianapolis News 4, I believe it is, did a story on the same company that I was speaking with the mayor about the hundreds of Better Business Bureau complaints, the hundreds of lawsuits they're involved in right now, and so yeah, it's...
And they're typically the ones you see advertising on Facebook,
yes,
just so you're aware.
Social media advertising. So just be careful and make sure you call your utility before you do any sort of solar hookup, because I'm not discouraging solar hookup, but I'm also being truthful with what they're going to offer you. Mm-hmm. So, in Indiana, if they're talking to you about return on investment, it's probably you might want to turn and walk away because they may not be completely honest with you. But I'll put on our website, there's an article in there that I wrote about if you're considering renewables, what to consider and what to look at, and there's a good article on there on our website under the electric tab about solar, so just be very cautious.
And I think it's really an important thing to kind of look at. You know, the city is interested in renewables, right? Like, we have a solar park, so this is not an anti renewable thing, but it is a scenario where there's been instances where people have put up solar panels because of promises by companies, and those solar panels are blocked by trees or bushes for the majority of the day, right? Those aren't going to create any payback for you, so So that's why I think what Sean's talking about is really important. But more importantly, I think for this ordinance, is that protection for our guys. When the power goes out and our guys are working on the lines, that there's not a back feed from a solar panel because, it, you know, number one, it was installed correctly. But number two, if it wasn't, there's at least some penalty if that happens. So any other questions? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2022-9 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay, next up is Ordinance 2022-10. Now, as I understand, Jennifer, Marcia, as I understand the farmers market ordinance, we tabled it last time. Mm-hmm. Sounds like ordinance committee has had further discussion at this point.
Yes.
So where, before I asked for a reading, I wanted to find out where we're at with that.
Basically, we are planning to repeal this entire ordinance.
Okay.
We're not exactly sure why it originated in the first place, and it isn't something that really we felt needs to exist any longer. I think at the time it was one of the few events that was happening downtown outside of Old Settlers Days, mm-hmm. and now there's a lot of different events, and there's steps in place for those events to
get approval,
mm-hmm. to
yeah.
set up, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so we decided that maybe it would make more sense for the farmers market to go that route, the route that every other event downtown goes. That way it goes to Board of Works, and everybody gets to sign off on mm-hmm. it. And if anybody has any questions or if they want to make any changes, then that's the avenue to go through.
Sure.
And to have that be the way that it's done in the future mm-hmm. rather than making an ordinance about it and continuing to update it.
Okay. So if I hear you correctly, and I think I do, it's mainly it's a scenario where the ordinance is in there because of probably at its origination.
I think at the time that organization wasn't its own standalone nonprofit organization. Now it is. Now it could.
Yeah.
It just kind of makes more sense that it follows the way we do everything else rather than having its own special exceptions.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like we have, and you've spearheaded this, but I feel like this council has, and previous councils as well, has focused on figuring out ways in which we can decrease the size of our ordinance, take out those things that maybe aren't prevalent or aren't, we just did another one, right? Figure out those areas where there's already processes in place and it's almost duplicative to have an ordinance in place. And that sounds like that would be the situation.
Right. The feeling was just like, why do we want to have a whole separate thing for this one event when we're asking everybody else to do a different process,
right.
and we might as well have everybody do the same process and be handled that way.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It was actually kind of a eureka moment in the meeting when we were making all these changes, and we were like, what? One of our members was like, why are we doing this?
Yes.
We don't
yes.
need to do this.
Okay.
So
I'm assuming then we will table Ordinance 2022-10. Probably indefinitely, and anticipate then there will be a change in ordinance coming.
Right. Marcia is working on
that would replace that effectively.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we just had the meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
I just haven't.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, but
that's fine. I just
I agree with Jennifer. I think after we sort of talked this through, we realized mm-hmm. it was because they weren't really in existence yet as an actual nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I think we had the ordinance to begin with.
And I think at the time it was because the city was kind of holding up one end of it, and the chamber was kind of holding
mm-hmm.
up the other end of it, and it's getting on its own now, so
yeah.
it's not necessary.
It's grown up.
It has grown up.
It's a birdie that has flown the nest.
Yeah.
That's great. Fantastic. Okay. Well, then we'll table that. Oh, I'm sorry. Do we want to have a motion to table?
I
move that we table
it. Okay. Okay. Do I have a second?
Table it. Just let it.
Okay.
Let it die.
I don't.
Either way,
we can do. We can
either,
do either way.
Either
I don't
way
know.
Is fine.
Okay.
Either way is fine.
Okay.
I mean, quite frankly, we could table it, and then the new ordinance will simply be
replaced.
Yeah, I'm going to rewrite it in its completion,
okay.
and we could just table it until I rewrite, and it'll be a totally different written ordinance. I don't care how you do it.
Okay, so I have a motion second. That was motion by Jennifer, seconded, I think, by Dan, to table the ordinance. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. We'll table it and replace it. Excellent. Okay, department head reports. Sean.
So as I'm sure most of you have noticed, we did have a semi-tractor trailer hit a traffic signal pole downtown here at Van Buren and Line. We're working on it. It destroyed the base. It destroyed everything. So they had to completely dig the concrete out, re-pour all the bolts. Problem we're having now is the pole is 22 weeks out. Getting any material right now is difficult, but so we're searching and trying to find a replacement. We thought we had a replacement from MDOT. They're saying they don't have one, even though I've seen it on their lot. So we're trying to find one that we can replace sooner. I think the setup we have right now is sufficient. It's kind of a temporary setup, but it's working, I think, quite well. So we're just going to keep going. We're getting face in, ready to go for a pole, and just at that point, it's when we can get a pole. Hopefully we can find one from one of the contractors. We did start tree board tree removal this week with some fireworks and trucks leaking oil and all sorts of fun stuff. But we're also working our way down Airport Road, replacing poles. Several poles through there will be replaced and rebuilt. So just making system improvements and doing, you know, general day-to-day activities.
Questions of Sean?
I have a question.
Yes.
Sean, you mentioned a while back that those poles are really expensive when they get knocked out and that they keep getting knocked out. I have two questions for you. One is there anything differently we could be doing in that intersection? And the second question is the expense of that. Does that get put back on whoever wrecks into it? Or
correct.
Are we?
And this one, unfortunately, was able to escape our swift response from our police department, so we weren't able to figure out who it was, so it falls back on our insurance. Ordinarily, whoever hits the pole has to repair the damage. The reason we haven't done anything more extreme than replace them is we are currently looking at a downtown revitalization plan in the next, hopefully, couple years. At that point, I'm really going to push hard towards moving poles back away from the intersections, getting the little bump outs out of there so we actually have room to go around a car that's trying to turn. Several improvements, I think, that'll help at that point. But as of right now, we're kind of stuck with what we have because we are looking at $20,000 to $30,000 every time we do anything different with one of those poles. And I'm not going to replace a pole with something bigger or move it, and then in 2 years we're doing a downtown revitalization plan and completely ripping them out and replacing them anyway. So that's yes, I have talked about that extensively. Obviously, traffic controls are not my specialty. It's something that falls under the electric department. We have Shamble and Sons that do all of that for us. There's federal laws that have to be followed. On those, I'm not even allowed to open the cabinet where those are at because I'm not trained in traffic control signal programming. So, but yes, the goal is to get those away from the corners a little bit. I'm not sure why they were put in that way, but we didn't have as much truck traffic downtown. Now, that is a no truck traffic road going south on Lyon Street, but at 6 in the morning, they kind of do what they want, I guess. It's hard to enforce. That's scary. I mean, it's hard to enforce no trucks on Lyon Street when they can say they're delivering down the road to one of the business, Kilgore or whomever, down there. So it's just, it's not a great setup, but it was installed. I mean, it's got to be, what?
90s.
Yeah.
If 90s. It was the downtown rebite, it was early now, mid-90s. Yeah.
And we're eyeing another downtown revitalization, and that's definitely going to be top priority for the traffic signals, is getting them back off the intersections. But yes, as of right now.
This is probably a good opportunity to also say, if you see something, you need to say something in a timely manner.
Yes.
Like if you see a truck that wraps itself around a pole and then backs
twice
right back up into it, like call right away so that we can get to it.
I give the police department a hard time because the CP, the person who called it in, waited like 10 minutes to call the police. And by that time, they're out of town. So
I have a sort of related question. Could we get a camera down there? I mean, especially when we're talking about $30,000 every time it happens. And how many times has it happened, like, in the past year?
We've done it twice in the last year.
Two years. Which intersection is it?
Right out here.
Lyon and Van Buren. It actually happened catty corner from each other, right? This is the
It's two different poles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's turning north or south on Lyon from Van Buren.
Never envisioned this one getting hit, though, but...
Yeah.
If you have a camera there, is it strong enough to do, I guess, this eye where it zooms in on
it? Zooms in.
License plate, I mean. Right.
Some of our new cameras are much better than the old cameras are.
It's not like you see a TV.
Yeah. We can definitely look at it. I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, we have been having a lot of internal conversation about that intersection specifically and how, because of the backup after school, because of the truck traffic that has hit, the trucks that have hit those poles and bent those poles and caused, again, the first event, or maybe multiple couple events that we've had, the insurance paid off those, right?
Yeah.
This
right.
one is one we didn't catch. But still, the point of the matter is that intersection is not, it's really just not set up for that much traffic and for semi-trucks specifically. So, we've been having a lot of internal conversation about what can we do differently there to make it better, especially in the afternoons. I don't know that we know what the answer is yet.
We did change the traffic signal timing on that intersection to try to help. Ultimately, there's not enough room for a car turning left that's going northbound on Lyon Street for a car to go around it consistently.
Yeah.
If the car doesn't get to the center, you can't get around that car, and everybody's got to wait for a turn. And there's rules to what you can do with the timing and things like that. We have to hire an engineer. We have to do a traffic flow study. We've got to do all this stuff just to change the timing pattern, just to put in a new, you know, like a delayed turn or something. We're talking thousands of dollars, and if it's going to help, I'm all for it. But ultimately, we got to figure out where that money is coming from.
Yeah, and I think the one piece we've kind of been, or that I've been doing, I mean, I did on lunch with the mayor and consistently tell people is, if you're turning west on Van Buren from Lyon, you can take Market or Ellsworth or Spencer and then hit either Elm or Walnut, Elm or Oak going north and hit West Van Buren that way. You don't have to wait. It's an easier track, I think. Obviously, you're going to residential neighborhoods, but they're just, the backup really comes down to a person or two people or three people that want to turn left on West Van Buren. Want to turn from,
like almost half.
Yeah, want to turn west on Van Buren from, I guess, going north on Lyon, if that makes any sense. So, or vice versa, coming south on Lyon, on North Lyon, and wanting to turn east on Van Buren, the other side. That's where we get the backups, is people wanting to do that, and just encourage individuals to take alternative routes so that it doesn't back up there. So, but we do need to take a hard look at that whole intersection and see if we can rework it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So, one last note on that is that that's the only intersection in downtown that has buildings on all four corners, right up on all four corners.
True.
So, that also creates some challenges. So, good question, Jennifer. Anything else for Sean? Thank you. Gary.
Last Wednesday, on the 16th, we had a countywide training at the high school. Had a little over 60 people attend. It was one training that we get all of our, or most of our ILEA mandates. And it's like a 2-hour training. They have actors come in and do, like, it's called Act Out. So they do scenarios and you discuss it. So that was a good training, very well attended. Last weekend, Trinity Evangelical Presbyterian Church dropped off cookies, which I shared with dispatch. I didn't share with anybody else. They're very appreciative of that. It was they just wanted to let us know their appreciation of the hard work that we do. So that was very nice of them. We did have an officer resign. Officer Braxton Madison resigned. His last day was on the 18th, which was last Friday. Board of Works gave me approval to fulfill that position, so I'll be putting out a hiring process for that. And as far as police go, we're still working on SOP policies, which is just going to be a continuous thing. Dispatch, we did a training on text to dispatch. All the dispatchers did in-house training on that. That went well, no hiccups. Getting ready for an FBI audit through dispatch. I think it's more of an IT thing, which Terry's been working hard on that, getting everything around for that through SDS, and it's been a project. So, but I think they're doing well on it. That audit will be in mid-April, so I think we're looking good for that. All the radios and dispatch have been updated, and we also, as I was approached yesterday, Nora, one of our dispatchers, is also put in her resignation for the next 2 weeks. She don't know if she's going to be here 2 weeks or 6 weeks. It just depends on some family things that she's going through, and that's why she's resigning. So there's just some personal things going on there. So but the Board of Works also gave me approval to fulfill that position.
Questions, Gary? Thank you. Mike?
The last couple of weeks we've been getting a lot of calls about standing water. There's some places where we can do something about it. There's some places where it's in the easement and we can do something, but there's some places where it's in behind a house or on the side of a house and there's nothing we can do. You know, there it's just low ground and there's nowhere to take it. We try to do something to help people out, but you know, sometimes there's just nothing there that we can do. Also, we've had four or five new houses go up where they're calling for new service lines going to, so we've been hooking them up too.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Mike?
Last Thursday, we had long-term control plan warranty inspection with United Consulting. No issues were found other than the issues that were found by my staff of equipment not working properly. Once that's repaired, the one-year warranty will start over on that. That's per the contract. Meet with the mayor and Willie County Regional Sewer District on Thursday. I have assigned the capacity letter stating that we can accept the flow from the south side of Kowesi once the new pressure sewer is put in. Jefferson skated, I've been talking about the new pole has been installed, the antenna, and that's working properly. I've been working on a skater radio replacement, run into a little snag on that, so I've added Donahue and Associates because some of the stations are going to have PLCs installed because the current radios have them integrated, and once you switch to new radios, they're not there, so that's work in progress. We have a company bringing chemicals in for our EQ basin, so when that discharges, we have to disinfect that with a chlorine liquid that's injected, and then we have to remove the chlorine before it's discharged to the river per state. They are going to install level monitoring equipment on both tanks, and they will be able to keep track of the level on the tank, so whenever we need delivery, they'll know ahead of time, and they're installing that equipment free of charge to us, so they can monitor that from their cell phones or computers. And then I had one of my newest employees set for a state exam today, and the way they do it now, you know the results, you don't have the certification from the state yet, but he passed his test, so we're just waiting for the official documents from the state, so pretty proud of him for doing that, so he scored very well.
Question to Mike? Thank you. Thomas?
Our active 911, which is a program that notifies via cell phones and things like that of runs for my guys. So a lot of the younger guys don't like carrying pagers. They always have their cell phones with them, so it communicates with them via that. We've had issues with it in the past, the active 911 in the past, because it relies on email system to notify active 911 of the run. Well, in talking, Rodney spoke with Terry, and there is a much more reliable way of plugging that in direct to the Spillman, so that you take the email system out of it, and they're going to be working on that to improve our active 911 system. We've had several runs. Last Friday was an example. We had a rack out on US 30, and it never went over active 911, which starts bringing up some serious red flags when your young firefighters aren't being notified of things. So we have to take action. All of our equipment is fixed and up and running again. Chris and I attended a inspector's meeting or inspector's training last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in Valparaiso, which with the events that occurred at a Walmart distribution center in Plainfield became a much different topic, especially being one of the presenters there was from the National Fire Sprinkler Association. So if you ever want to get bored to death, let me know. I'll tell you, it really got to be fairly interesting as that was all unfolding. And then our hiring process is still going well. We have two candidates that will be brought in for interviews, and hopefully we'll have somebody out of it.
Questions of Tom? Thank you. Terry?
SCS is continuing to install equipment for the free Wi-Fi network. That's going pretty well, except we're still missing parts that haven't come in yet that are back ordered. We installed four new cameras at Oak Alley, and they're really good, high definition, and it's a colorful sight to see, that's for sure. And working with Matt and several other vendors on this new virtual land for the police and public safety, so that's been pretty extensive and sometimes not going real well, but we hope to move over to it next Monday.
That's all I have. Questions of Terry? Thank you. Mark?
There's community foundation is doing some surveying at the where they're going to eventually build their building, but they should start their construction fairly soon, in the next couple months, so it's kind of exciting. Been working on baseball fields and fencing, fixing a lot of fencing, and actually pushing fence back on a field, so doing a lot of work to that, which has been great. Met with gardeners that take care of our gardens, just kind of getting ready to do some things for them this spring. All of our bathrooms are open right now except for the bowl field and the main bathrooms by our baseball fields. Those will be open next week. And then we've been doing some interviews at the pool, trying to get a few more lifeguards. Probably need maybe 6 or 7 more. But we have enough to get going, but 20, 22 is probably what we have, and that's really probably need more. So if you don't have anybody that wants to be a lifeguard, have them get a hold of us.
Question to Mark. Thank you. Chip?
Just a couple of things. I want to thank Electric Department. They've been assisting the tree board with cutting down trees. Did have a minor little situation yesterday, but hopefully everything's going good. Columbus City Connect is doing a downtown cleanup April 30th, 9 to noon. If anybody would like to be there, please let me know. And other than that, I've got nothing.
Questions to Chip? Thank you. Marcia?
Nothing.
RC?
Just a quick question. I'm starting to get in the compliance with statement of benefits. I've gotten one in. Rather than bringing one or two every meeting, would you rather I just wait and try and do them all together? I don't know if they're going to be
abatements
coming in or if you're wanting them to come in to meet with you guys. Or
yes.
Yes.
Yes, they would like.
I would just schedule them and.
Yeah, just.
I would almost have them kind of spread out as opposed to all of them coming in one time.
Yeah. All right.
So you'd rather have them spread out?
Yeah.
Okay. Just as
so maybe give them two or three meetings that they could come to, or two, maybe two. I don't know what the time
there's
is.
There's only
so.
A couple more meetings
between now and the deadline.
May or something.
So maybe we give them two of those dates that they can come in and.
I'll get them to Dale and see if we can schedule something. Okay, thank you.
Kelly's report, they did a round of limb pickup, kind of an unscheduled round. I think this past Wednesday, due to the strong winds a couple weeks ago, leaf pile was mulched couple weeks ago, and obviously the public can pick that up at their convenience. Sweeper was down for repair, but it's now up and running. A lot of work orders because of the boring company for the fiber project. They did hit a gas main today. I think they got that cleaned up, but I anticipate that'll happen more often in the old section of town, especially because, Tom, I think you had said that there's a lot of areas there that they actually, it's hard for them to locate where those gas lines are.
Right. They call it non-tonables, where they don't, but they can set normally on a lot of them, they can put a frequency down them and trace them. Well, the old lines don't have that capability, so.
So.
They're going to be shooting in the dark.
Yeah. They're patching potholes. They graded alleys last week. They're supposedly helping with the electric department on tree removal for the tree board trees. They're cleaning up the cemetery over the next couple of weeks to prepare for mowing season. And I think something else about they're trying to sweep up all the debris from the snow piles kind of as they are able to get to it. So that's what they've been working on. Obviously, there's a lot of things happening here in the city, as you're well aware. I'll say a positive than a negative here. So positive is the commissioners co-hosted with us the Mayor's Commissioners Caucus this last Wednesday at the library. So appreciate their help and sponsorship. Kind of the negative is that I know that we've had conversations about potential for, just conversations about combined dispatch opportunities, and in watching the commissioner's YouTube video last night, it doesn't appear that that's going to move forward, which is news to me, but I'm going to be following up with the commissioners on that. So I'll leave those comments for the moment, but apparently the two of the three commissioners have decided not to move forward with it, so I'll leave it there. Got to meet with the new chamber director, she seems like a ball of energy. So we'll see about that. But we are working together on putting together the state of the city address. I think I sent out an email to all of you regarding that date, which is on May 6th at noon at Autumn Trace. So I'm sure more information will be coming out about that, but I wanted to make sure you were aware of that. Working on some US 30 stuff at the moment, really just trying to figure out kind of what the true plan is for the state. Got to spend some time yesterday talking to students at Troy Center, and then we have youth council tomorrow. I think that's basically all I have to say at the moment. Obviously, still working on lots of different projects, and certainly there's some of those projects that are waiting for the weather to break. You know, the sidewalk project, that's out in front of City Hall here, that's going to be upcoming. Rosie and I have been working on what to do with the time capsule and the flagpole and stuff. I think we've decided we're going to move the time capsule over kind of to hug the side of the building, the other side of the building, if you will, just to kind of, because in order to put the lines in for the ice melt system, we kind of have to figure out a different way of doing that. But we've also kind of made the decision that there's no point in putting up an additional flagpole, because there was a flagpole there, but we have a flagpole in front of the fire station as well, so it doesn't really make sense to have two different flagpoles on the same property. So I don't see that we'll be replacing that. Plus, if you'll remember, I think you'll remember this, is that flagpole was actually, I think, given to an Eagle Scout, right? That is using it at, was it Knoll? One of the cemeteries.
I think it is Knoll.
Was it Knoll?
I think
it is. Yeah, so. Yep. So in any case, just a few things we're working on there. Among the many other projects that are on the horizon, Westgate is planned to start in May?
May, yes.
So we're going to be having another meeting, as I told you, Jennifer. Once we get that date finalized, I'll let you know, and we'll get a letter out to the residents. So.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is the opening date of that time capsule?
2026.
Is it 2026?
50 years after 1776.
July 4th.
Yeah. Well, that'd be more than 50 years after 1776.
July 4th, 2026 is
when it is. 1976.
1976. That's okay. So it's, I'm sorry, July what?
4th, 2026.
July 4th, 2026. There you go.
Okay.
Dan.
One thing we've been talked to, requested from Jeff Heinen and David, Dr. David Lieb over there on his property. I went over to talk to Jeff, and they're going to keep an eye on it. He said, you know, because I said if county employees were parking there, that would be an issue, but he doesn't believe that's the case. So right now, my conversation ended up like, hey, he's just going to keep an eye on it, let me know if it continues to be a problem with people parking there for a long period of time. And I gave him a couple options that we talked about, and he said, well, let's not do anything right now, but if it continues to be a problem, then we'll look at it. So I know I talked to Chief about that a while back also. And so right now everything seems to be calmed out a little bit with that. The other thing is how great it is to turn around, come in about 7 o'clock at night on a Thursday night, and you can't find a parking spot because all the restaurants are busy.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember the last time I saw that. I had to park on around the corners at a good cabin. But yeah, it's really cool to see the town busy after 7 o'clock before it's rolling up the parking, you know, and putting it away. But right now it's really, really doing well. So it's fantastic that we have opportunities to entertain ourselves.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I think we are still in the process of experiencing a renaissance in our downtown, and I think that's a really great thing. So, thanks. Jennifer.
Ordinance committee met yesterday, and the big topics of discussion at ordinance were, of course, the farmer's market, which we already addressed, and then the other thing was the UTV.
UTV?
Mm-hmm. What is... Side by side. Like, there's so many different things.
Yes.
And so we've been looking at different ordinances for different communities. One that we all really liked was Albion's. And so Marsha's currently working on kind of distilling out some of the best stuff of that to create something that will be, I guess, the most important thing is enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who might be anxious with the weather improving to be able to drive in town in their side-by-side or whatever else they want to use.
Yeah.
We are working on it, but as I've said before, sometimes things don't go quickly, and that's because we're trying to do a thorough job, not a quick job.
Yes. Anytime you're setting law, it's good to make
spend
sure
a little
you're
time and
crossing
sure
T's and dotting
right.
I's. That's exactly right.
We're also trying to forecast every kind of vehicle that exists that could fall under there, and there's definitely some vehicles that we don't want in the city.
Sure.
People might think it's really fun to drive a four-wheeler in town, and we don't want that.
Yeah. And there's definitely a balance between safety and mobility.
Right.
We have to watch it. We don't overwrite the state law.
That is also true, yes. Okay, great. Thank you. Ted.
I had a conversation with Andy Moore yesterday, and he asked me about an invoice that he's been getting, or just I think he spoke with you, Rosie, about it, about the sprinkler.
Yeah.
Apparently,
I talked to our fire inspector LaRue, and he can take it out.
Okay.
Which he wants to do. I told him first to check with his insurance to make sure it wouldn't go down, and Chris said that he said it wasn't going to make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him just to give me something in writing that he wants that disconnected, and Chris will have to go out and inspect to make sure it's disconnected, and then he won't get billed.
Okay. And I don't know if he was necessarily as concerned about the bill or the amount. I don't think he understood because it's a bill that it's reoccurring annually but doesn't...
Right.
So it's probably a good opportunity to talk about how we do fire suppression systems for billing.
Yeah.
What we do is, so any building has sprinkler system.
Mm-hmm.
They get charged based off the size of their sprinkler,
mm-hmm.
A yearly fee, and I'm thinking his is like $900 and some dollars.
Yeah.
Then if they have a fire or something that makes that sprinkler system go off,
mm-hmm.
they are not charged for the water they use. Now, if they don't have a sprinkler charge or a sprinkler system, they will get charged every time there's a fire or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, the fire department likes to have them sprinkler systems in there because, just like them, they use their repairing motors mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I believe it's been off in there a few times.
At their old, well.
That one?
We've had a couple of fires at their old location.
Yeah.
Not at this location.
Yeah, but was that sprinkled?
No.
No, the other location was not
sprinkled. So it's their decision. I just wanted to make sure with the fire inspector that they didn't have to get approval from the state, which I understand they don't.
Well, and that's what I was wanting to expand upon, too. They're in a very unique situation. That building was built as the Post and Mail. The Post and Mail, because of its occupancy and usage, they had a required system, meaning that the state code said that they had to have a sprinkler system in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that that more farm stores moved in, their occupancy does not require a sprinkler system. Is it a good idea? Of course, I'm going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not required to have it. Now, to remove it, they have to remove every portion of that sprinkler system. They can't just take the heads out. They can't just remove a couple pipes. It has to be where the riser comes out of the concrete. Everything down to that point has to be removed, or it has to be maintained as a sprinkler system. So it's either all or none for them. I want to make that very clear.
One of the things he was asking about was if there was a fire mm-hmm. and he did use it, his fire insurance would pay for that. So he's wondering why he has to pay $1,000 a year for something that his insurance will pay for anyways if he has to use the system. So basically, let's say he's there for 20 years. So he's going to put $20,000 into this, which if his place ever catches on fire, his insurance pays for it anyway. So
Ted,
that's $20,000 out-of-pocket expense that is covered by his insurance. So,
and we sent the mayor and Rosie the same email. And I got to tell you, I feel the same way. Now, we did find out at this, because we were asking about it at the inspectors meeting. This is not something Columbia City does. This we talk to inspectors around the state, and this is every water utility has a charge for sprinkler systems.
Effectively, it's an availability. It's an availability
sure.
charge, right? Because yeah. obviously, it's a whole. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. But is it a whole separate tap, or is it a tap?
No. Usually, what we do is they take the line in from the main
mm-hmm.
for the sprinkler.
Yeah.
And before they get to the shutoff for the sprinkler, they'll tap that line and bring it in for the domestic.
Gotcha.
But the thing you got to understand is how much water they could use at a fire
mm-hmm.
is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to save them. I understand $1,000 a month
year.
Is a lot, but you also have to realize that if he doesn't want the sprinkler, it ain't like he can turn it on at another time if he needs it. Okay. It's gone.
Reinstall it all.
Yeah.
Well, it's a safety thing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
let's just say he didn't have it in there. By the time the fire department gets there, you could have a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Where with the sprinkler, it automatically goes off. And
sure.
But it's totally up to him.
Okay.
He just needs, I told the fire inspector to tell him. And I don't know whether he's had a chance to talk to
I think
him.
He did. And again, I just spoke to him yesterday. He was more concerned about because he pays insurance for
right.
everything catches on fire.
Yeah.
And
I just want to make sure we.
Because it's kind of like double dipping. You know, he pays for that fee, but also he pays his fire insurance. So.
But you should get a credit with your insurance company.
Say, how much is
and that's what I was wondering, if there was some sort of documentation where maybe he can give that to his insurance company for, $1,000 is $1,000 a year.
I mean, I think obviously if we need to provide any proof, you know,
sure.
certainly, I mean, I don't think that's an issue. I think it's, but I would assume then it's between him and his insurance company in that
sure.
regard, right? So, I mean, obviously, from Tom's perspective and from our perspective is, if you have a building that's sprinkled, especially one that's using gas and oil and lubricants and things like that, obviously that's beneficial.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
beneficial
yeah.
for the safety of your employees and the safety in potentially saving a building.
Yeah.
But the other side of that is if it burns down and you have insurance for that, you know, you have your deductible after that, you know. So there's all those things to
sure.
weigh. But
sure.
from the city's perspective, obviously it's a safety thing, but it's also a scenario where to have that availability of the water, have that tap, et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if he definitely wants it disconnected, he needs to get me something in writing.
Okay.
And then I think, Mike, do you have to disconnect it then, or?
We're probably going to have to disconnect it so that, you know.
So we'll just make proof that it is disconnected.
Okay. And I don't know what else. So, again, this
but
is
I think Chris is working with
conversation
him.
I had with him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a good question. I mean, it's something you don't come across very often.
Nope, so. That was the first I'd heard of it.
Yeah,
yeah, and every year we send them out, they call and ask again, well, I can't remember, what's this for? It's like, you know, they forget.
How long have we had that charge for?
Forever.
Okay, I'm just curious.
I just want to make sure that I'm very, very clear that this is a unique situation. Almost every sprinkler system that's in place, unless there's a change of occupancy, is a required system. Andy's in a very unique situation that he acquired a building that had one pre-existing, and his business does not require a system.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can remove a fire sprinkler system. Some of it's required. I just want to make sure that we keep that known.
Yeah, for public information.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions? Cool. Jenny?
I have nothing.
Press? We have no audience, so we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.